Yuma Daf Yud Gimel. We're on Yud Beis Amud Beis. We are starting towards the bottom of the Amud with the words Tana Rabbanan. We are still working within the first Mishnah of the Masechta. We have been discussing now for almost 2 weeks this idea that the Kohen Gadol is going to be sequestered 7 days prior to Yom Kippur. And we also discussed the idea in the Mishnah that they would set up a stand-in Kohen in the event that the Kohen Gadol would experience a psul that would disqualify him for the Avodas Yom Kippurim. So the stand-in Kohen would simply be called in from the bullpen and do the avoda on Yom Kippur. Tana Rabbanan, the Gemara now is going to be discussing the statuses of both the Kohen Gadol and the Kohen Gadol who served as a substitute. Ira bo psul umino acher tachtav. Let's say a disqualification were to occur to the original Kohen Gadol and he was then subbed in by another Kohen. Rishon chozol avoda. So when the disqualification of the first of the original Kohen Gadol is passed and he goes back and is reinstated as his position as being Kohen Gadol, so as far as the Kohen who substituted, so Sheni kol mitzvos kohuna gedola alav div Reb Meir. So according to Shitas Reb Meir, so the standing Kohen Gadol is going to have the status of being a Kohen Gadol. Rashi describes that in a number of different scenarios. Rashi could be found at the third wide line, kol mitzvos kohuna gedola alav lo parev lo parem. So as far as his grooming is concerned, he's going to be treated like a Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol gets a haircut once a week, so presumably this Kohen as well, who subbed in, will be getting a haircut weekly. Veinu Metame LeKrovim, also does not become Metame to any one of his Krovim. Unlike a regular Kohen who is Metame for the Zion Krovim, but the Kohen Gadol is not, and this substitute is not going to be Metame for his Krovim. Ooh, Muzar Al HaAlmana, this Kohen is not going to be able to marry an Almana like the Kohen Gadol. And finally, Mishamish B'Shamon HaBegadim, and if he's going to do the Avodah, he's going to be wearing the 8 Begadim, just like the Kohen Gadol. So, according to Reb Meir, once this sub has subbed in for the Kohen Gadol, he's going to have the full status of being a Kohen Gadol. Reb Yossi, Omer Rishon Chozal Avodah, Shenu Inarai Lo LeKohen Gadol, Lo Kohen Hejah. Shitas Reb Yossi is that this Kohen who subbed in, so once the original Kohen Gadol resumes his spot as being the Kohen Gadol, this substitute now, he's going to be in limbo. He's not going to be the Kohen Gadol, nor is he going to be Kohen Hejot. And the Gemara, in a moment, is about to explain. Amar Rebbe Yossi, Maisa, Bi Yosef ben Ilan Bitsipori, or Mitsipori. Rebbe Yossi comments that there was Yosef ben Ilan from the town of Sipori, Shirubo Psul, the Kohen Gadol, where there was a Psul regarding the Kohen Gadol, Uminuhu Tachtav, and he, presumably Yosef ben Ilan, served as a substitute. So the original Kohen, once his psul has come and went, so he'll just simply be reinstated as the Kohen Gadol. But as far as the substitute is concerned, so he is not going to have neither the status of the Kohen Gadol nor the status of a Kohen Hejot. And here now in the Brisa, the continuation of the Brisa, with an explanation, Kohen Gadol Mishum Eva, so as far as not having the status of the Kohen Gadol is concerned, so that's as a result of Eva, meaning that if he were to operate like the Kohen Gadol, so then there would be an animosity that existed between the original Kohen Gadol and this Kohen Gadol. And Kohen Hejot Mishum Malam Bekosh Velo Marinim, to be dropped to the status of being a Kohen Hejot, well, that you can't do, because we know that you only go up in Kedusha, you don't go down in Kedusha, and so therefore he can't operate as a regular Kohen. So it sounds like, according to Shitas Reb Yossi, that this Kohen is now going to be in a state of limbo, at least for the foreseeable future. Amar Rabba Bar Chanan, Amar Rav Yochanan. So the Gemara now is going to make a number of comments over here on the machlokes between Reb Meir and Reb Yossi. Number one, halacha ke Reb Yossi. So number one, he's the first comment of the Gemara, b'shem Reb Yochanan, is that the halacha is like Reb Yossi, as we know on the top of Gimel Amud Aleph. So that is unusual for a couple of reasons. Tosos already points out over here, it's unusual based on the fact that when we're passing a halacha, that's only going to have application once the Mashiach comes and once the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt. And this is what's called Hilchus of the Mashiach. And generally speaking, we don't pass in the halacha for the Zman HaMashiach. When the Zman HaMashiach comes, so we'll have competent poskim. We're going to pass in the halacha, but we don't need to do so now. So that's unusual, and Tosa spends some time discussing how it is that there may, in fact, be some application of this halacha. See Tosa for more discussion of that. It's also unusual, the Gemara passes like Rav Yossi, because we know that in general, when you have a machlokes between Rav Yossi and Rav Meir, we learned this back in Erevin, so we already know that the default position is going to be like Rav Yossi. So for the Gemara over here to go out of its way to pass like Rav Yossi, that would have been the expectation. So it's a little bit strange that Rav Yochanan needs to pass like Rav Yossi. So truth be told is that there are a couple of points that definitely need clarification in terms of why Rav Yochanan passing like Rav Yossi. Umod Rav Yossi, continuing now, we're still on the top of Yigim Amad Alf, Umod Rav Yossi, Shim Avar, the Avar Avodah. So let's say now, this interim Kohen Gadol, according to Rav Yossi, now is in this position of limbo, not the Kohen Gadol, not the Kohen Hedjel, but if in fact he did the Avodah, so then Avodah so Kshera, so then the Avodah would be Kshera. Now he's doing the Avodah as what? As a Kohen Hedjel or as a Kohen Gadol? So Rashi over here is very clear. Rashi could be found in the previous Amud. The Rashi over here is not... just a little bit of an offsetting of the printing of Rashi. But anyway, you can find Rashi in the bottom of the previous Amud. So Rashi says, Avodas Okshera, the Shim Avar Va'avad. So Rashi writes over here, it's a fourth line in Rashi. Vishmon Begadim, Ke Kohen Gadol. So Rashi is very clear over here that we're talking about where he would to do the Avodah like the Kohen Gadol with the Begadim. Avodas Okshera, Daha Kohen Gadol. So, because the way Rashi understands the Gemara over here is that fundamentally he's a Kohen Gadol, meaning even according to Rav Yossi. According to Rav Meir, we know he's a Kohen Gadol, but even according to Rav Yossi, he's fundamentally a Kohen Gadol. The fact that we put him in the state of limbo, so as the Gemara just explained, we don't want to make him Kohen Gadol because of Eva, we don't want to make him Kohen Hedjon because of Malim, because of Vein Moridim, but as far as where he really belongs on the spectrum, he belongs. Really more in line with the Kohen Gadol, but because of Eva, so we don't want to put him in that place. But that means that B'di'evit, if he served as a Kohen Gadol, so then it would work. That's the Gemara, and that's Rashi's understanding of the Gemara. I'm Rav Yehuda Marav. Back to the Gemara, we are now, second line down. So Rav Yehuda quotes B'Shem Rav, Halacha K'Rav Yossi, Umod Rav Yossi. So first of all, he also possibly like the Halachas like Rav Yossi, right? Go back to what we discussed just moments earlier regarding what the need is to pass like Rav Yossi, but anyway, halachic Rav Yossi, Moda Rav Yossi. Now Rav Yossi will admit the following. Let's say eventually the original Kohen Gadol dies, so then this Kohen who served as a substitute, so he's going to go now and he's going to be the presumptive replacement of the Kohen Gadol. So Pshita the Gemara says, now, at this point in time, I think that's pretty obvious. So he already subbed in for the Kohen Gadol, so it would make sense that he would become the next Kohen Gadol. To which the Gemara says, not necessarily. So I might have thought, so I might have thought that if we put him in that position where he's going to be taking over for the Kohen Gadol at any point in time with the Kohen Gadol's nifter, so basically the Kohen Gadol will look at him as basically like a tzara, like a co-wife. And the awkward and tenuous relationship that would now exist between the acting Kohen Gadol and the Kohen Gadol who's looking to take over, so it would probably make for a really poor relationship. That's the Havamina, and I guess built into this Havamina would then be the idea that he doesn't naturally take over from the original Kohen Gadol. Presumably that's what the, whatever, that's all part of the Havamina, but Kamashman, but the Chiddush is no. In other words, let's say it's certainly a consideration, but not enough of the consideration, and we will in fact make him the next Kohen Gadol in the event that the original Kohen Gadol is Nifter. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Af Isha Acheres Misaknin Lo. Now we are going all the way back to the Mishnah, so this takes us back to the first daf of the Masechta, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, what we're going to do is that we're going to establish for him a second wife as well. And the reason why is because if in the event the original wife dies, so now the second wife is going to be able to serve as his wife. He needs a wife. Now, for reasons which we're going to articulate in just a moment, there's an absolute need for the Kohen Gadol to have a wife on Yom Kippur. So according to Rav Yehuda, much like we're going to have a substitute Kohen Gadol, so that if in the event that something happens to the Kohen Gadol, so we have a substitute going in there, so Rav Yehuda says the same thing is true regarding his wife. If in the event that his wife dies, so we'll have a substitute wife. Now the Gemara says, now the Chachamim certainly are worried, and they certainly are taking into account risk, meaning they, according to the Chachamim, we're going to have a replacement Kohen who's going to be standing there in the event that the Kohen Gadol becomes Pasul. So why aren't they on board with this idea of Rav Yehuda of having another wife as well? But the Chachamim will say back in a very simple response is that, look, you just have to look at the statistics over here. The chances that the Kohen Gadol becoming Pasul, so that's a chance, right? Without giving precise numbers in terms of what the statistics are, but it's a higher probability. It's not a high probability, but it's a higher probability that he's going to become Pasul, as opposed to the idea that the Kohen Gadol's wife is going to die over the course of Yom Kippur. That's a extraordinarily low probability, and the Chachamim say that we're just simply going to give a simple analysis of what the risk is and what the percentages are in and act accordingly. Amar lo im kein in ledavar sof. Now, the Chachamim say to Rabbi Yehuda, if you're going to give her another wife, so why don't you give this excuse me. Why don't you give the second wife a third wife? Why don't you give the third wife a fourth wife? So ain't la devar sof. So shabbi kamer lei le Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, okay, that seems to be a really strong argument to Rabbi Yehuda. Meaning in the Mishnah, all we hear is a chachamim's argument, which seems to be pretty strong. Now the Gemara is assuming over here that Rabbi Yehuda does have a response. We didn't hear it in the Mishnah. So the Gemara tells us, Rabbi Yehuda, I'm lecha lemisa dechale chashin, lemisa detartu lechashinan. So Rabbi Yehuda's response is, look, obviously, I'm worried about his wife dying, but I'm not worried about the second wife dying. Meaning that they're even I who is more cautious and more concerned, but I still have a limit in terms of how far I'm going to concern myself with possibilities. Fine. So Rabbi Yehuda's response is very simple. I have my limits. And the Chacham's counter response to that is, look, if once you're taking death as a concern, as a consideration, so then the second death should also be a concern and consideration. And presumably what the Chachamim are counting to Rabbi Yehuda is that, look, we're of the belief that we don't have to worry about somebody dying within a day. Meaning a healthy woman, healthy wife, relatively speaking, and within one day's time she's going to die. So that already is something that we don't entertain to begin with. Now the idea that you're worried about the wife dying, so from our perspective, we might as well just worry about the second wife dying and the third wife dying. Meaning because we really don't see a difference between one versus two versus three. Okay, so the back and forth between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda. V'rabbanan nemar inu l'nafshayu. So the Gemara says now. The Chachamim, why don't they just simply take that argument that they attack with Rabbi Yehuda, and why don't you simply turn the argument right around on them? And meaning that according to the Chachamim, look, we're going to have a stand-in Kohen in the event that the Kohen Gadol becomes possible. Why don't we have a stand-in for the stand-in? Why don't we have a fourth stand-in? Meaning, so this Ein L'Davar Sof, this argument that the Chachamim are presenting to Rabbi Yehuda, really you could take that very argument, turn it around the Chachamim. So Am Lecha Rabbanan. So the Chachamim would say to you, no, Kohen Gadol Zarizu. So the Gemara says, no, the truth of the matter is that the Kohen Gadol is a Zariz. Nothing's going to happen to the Kohen Gadol, which of course prompts the very next question. Zarizu lama mesaknin Kohen Acher. So the Gemara says, okay, wonderful. So if you're really sure that nothing's going to happen to the Kohen Gadol, so I don't need somebody to, I don't even need one substitute for the Kohen Gadol. You're telling me that the Kohen Gadol is a Zariz, so that should be true even for the original Kohen Gadol. We shouldn't even need one stand-in. So, Kevin Dabdin Le Tzara Koshekin de Mizarist Fe. So, the Gemara over here gives a powerful answer, and the Gemara says no. Because as it relates to the Kohen Gadol, yeah, the Chachamim are of the belief that the Kohen Gadol is really going to take care of himself and make sure that nothing happens to him. And so there really is no concern, and there's no reason to put a substitute in. According to the Chachamim, why is there a substitute? So it's really brilliant. So the Gemara's response in defense of the Chachamim is that, yeah, you know why we put a substitute in? It makes the Kohen Gadol even more careful, meaning that knowing that somebody is right there to take over in the event that something happens to the Kohen Gadol, so it'll further incentivize the Kohen Gadol to take even more care of himself than he normally would. So it's interesting. According to the Chachamim, the reason why we have a substitute Kohen Gadol is so that we don't need a substitute Kohen Gadol. It's basically more incentive to make sure the Kohen Gadol is even more careful. So umisagale betakanta beso. Sorry, umisagale betakanta. Now the Gemara is going to be spending the rest of this staff, more or less. At the end, the Gemara is going to turn its attention to another topic. But from here until basically the remainder of today's daf, we're going to be focusing on the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. Now, it's interesting, the Gemara is going to be spending a good amount of real estate, precious real estate over here, discussing the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, and we don't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, and we're not going to get a second wife for him, but at least within the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, the Gemara wants a better understanding of how exactly that would work. And it's not unusual that the Gemara spends so much time discussing a sheet that's not accepted lahalacha. It's still part and parcel of the corpus of Torah. It's still a kiyum in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, even though it's not the halacha. So the Gemara starts off the questioning. So misagale betakanta. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, so we're going to have a second wife. So first of all, beisa marachma navahachla beisu. So the Gemara says, okay, just be simply designating another woman to marry the Kohen Gadol. So the Gemara says, that doesn't do anything, meaning he's not married to her. So the Gemara's response is demikadishla. So the Gemara says, okay, so the Kohen Gadol is going to be kedushin with do kedushin with the second woman. The hakama delo kanisla la beisu. So the Gemara says, okay, but we're looking for someone to be his bias. His bias means that not only did he go through the first stage of marriage kedushin, but he also went through the second stage of marriage as well. So the Gemara says, okay, so the kind of slow. So the Gemara says, fine. Beso requires that you have to go through both stages of marriage. So the Gemara says, fine. So that's exactly what he did. He went through both stages of marriage. So the Gemara says, that's fine, but now it presents a new problem. So the Gemara says that the Kohen Gadol must be married to one woman and only one woman. The Torah, when describing his kapara, says beso, that he has to be mechaper for himself and for his bais. Bais is a reference to his wife. We just established that it means a wife that he went both with Kedushin and Nisun with, but it also means only one wife. And if he were to do Kedushin and Nisun to the second wife, so then effectively what that would mean is that he'd be married now to two women. And the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to be married to two women. This probably is the only time that we can find in Kol HaTorah Kula where a person is usher to marry two women, meaning we know that a man is allowed to marry more than one woman in the Torah, and the only cap is in terms of the maximum number, and that's only true regarding the melech. The melech can only marry 18 and no more than 18. Outside of that, a man could marry as many women as he wants in the Torah. We also know that for at least the last 1,000 years, there's been a formal gzera that a man shouldn't marry more than one woman. So takana de Rabbeinu Gershom. So fine, but we've never seen that there's an actual isser for a man, an isser min haTorah for a man to marry more than one woman. And this is probably going to be unique in this area. We find over here a circumstance where the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur is not allowed to marry more than one woman. Certainly sounds like from the Gemara, and I imagine this point is debatable, is that the rest of the year the Kohen Gadol could be married to more than one woman, and this is only a halacha within Yom Kippur, that he's limited to marrying only one woman or being married to only one woman in Yom Kippur. Although it may be a point of debate, but it's really impractical, because even if it's true, even if he could marry more than one woman any other time of the year, but that would mean that by Yom Kippur comes around Yom Kippur, so then he would have to, I was going to say get rid of, let me be a little bit nicer, he would have to divorce one of them, and of course once he divorces one of them, he can't remarry them. So it's not a point of practicality. Anyway, let's just say it simply. A Kohen Gadol can only marry one woman, and for Yom Kippur, it's a din. You have to only be married to one woman. And so the question over here now is going to be, so here's the problem, and we need a solution. The problem is that according to Rabbi Yehuda, so the Kohen Gadol is married already to one woman, and a second woman is there. So in the event that something happens to the first woman, the problem now is that he can't be married to the two women because the Torah says beso. And the problem now is that if something were to happen to his wife on Yom Kippur, he wouldn't be able to marry the second wife on Yom Kippur itself. So how do we do that? How do we create a scenario in which this Kohen Gadol, according to Rav Yehuda, is going to both be married and also have a second wife, but only if and when necessary? Okay, so it's a problem. And the Gemara now, for the remainder of today's daf, again, except for the very end of the daf, is going to try to solve for this problem. So the Gemara says, "Dahad megarish la." So first, the Gemara gives a suggestion which is just almost impossible to understand. And the Gemara says, "Well, I'll tell you what he'll do. He'll do tikkudushin, he'll do nisuin, and then he'll divorce her." The Gemara says, "Megarish la, hajukush l'nduchta." Well, that's of course ridiculous, because once you divorce her, so now he's left with one wife. And again, for Rav Yehuda, you haven't solved for any problem. So let's richa the megarish la al tanai. So the Gemara says, okay, what he does is he does the gerishin, but he does it with a tanai. And what the Gemara now is going to do, and admittedly, this upcoming Gemara over here is going to get really complicated, as the Gemara is going to try to present solutions that involve gerishin that's done al tanai with conditions, and we'll see exactly what's going to trigger off the gerishin. And the Gemara is now going to suggest that these are going to be various ways in terms of how it could be that he's going to be married to only one woman by the end of Yom Kippur, with the second woman being as part of the equation. Rashi over here already notes that, and you already got the sense from the Gemara that we've been doing up until now, that the Gemara's suggestions over here, some of them are just almost impossible to understand as really intelligent suggestions. Meaning, for example, what the Gemara just suggested: well, he'll marry her and then he'll divorce her. Right, so Rashi acknowledges already that these suggestions of the Gemara don't have any weight to them whatsoever. Some of them, I should say, in this I'm obviously speaking about this particular issue, but some of them don't seem to have to carry any weight with them, and they're not really they don't seem to be very thoughtful suggestions. But Rashi says this is just simply part and parcel of the flow of the Gemara, where the Gemara is eventually going to get to a solution that does work. And what the Gemara is just doing is just taking a step by step through all the possibilities which the Gemara is going to reject. And so many of these possibilities they don't even, you know, they don't even need a thought, don't even need a moment of consideration in terms of rejecting them. Okay, but anyway, it's all part of a process to get us to the right answer. So here now the Gemara is suggesting that what he'll do is that he'll give this wife a get, al tanai. Now, before we go through all the time, so just keep in mind the following. It's going to be very helpful just in terms of holding straight all the possibilities and what the Gemara is trying to solve for. So already, we already gone over a couple times what the Gemara is trying to solve for. Remember that when he marries these two women going into Yom Kippur, so what we want is that by the end of Yom Kippur, he's only married to one of those two women. Good. That's the goal. In terms of the possibilities, so there are basically three possibilities that could happen over the course of Yom Kippur. Either, number one, they're both going to survive Yom Kippur, which is the most likely possibility. Number two, that his original wife is going to die. Or number three is that his new wife is going to die. Those are the three possibilities. Now, there is a fourth possibility that they're both going to die. But remember, the Gemara already established that according to Rabbi Yehuda, that is not a possibility that we need to take into consideration. So as a result of that, the Gemara now is going to go through various suggestions. The first round of suggestions that we're going to start right now is that he's going to be giving a get al tanai to his new wife, obviously. In other words, the original wife, we're going to assume that he's going to want to maintain and keep. And so therefore, all these conditions that are going to be set forth is going to be, and the get that's being given right now is going to be to his new wife. So the Gemara starts off with the following. Lo tzricha, we are in the first wide line of the Amud. De megarish la al tanai. So he's going to be divorcing her conditionally. Damar la. And basically what's going to trigger the get is the following. So, harei zegitech amenas shetamusi. So this will be your get in the event that you die. And so that means that if in the event that she dies, so now retroactively the get is going to be taken effect already before Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says, V'dima lo ma'isiv ha'avileish ne'batim. So the Gemara says, okay, but again, one of the three possibilities is, of course, she doesn't die and the other wife doesn't die. And now, by the end of Yom Kippur, he's going to have two wives. And again, that's not our goal. So Elodam or Lass. So the Gemara says, okay, so let's move on. So we'll suggest the following. Harei zigitech amenasha lo tamusi. So this will be your get in the event that you don't die. But the Gemara says, Ilo ma'isa megar shalom. So if she doesn't die, so the gerushin has kicked in. V'imaisa, but if she dies, you have the other wife, the original wife. So the Gemara says, yeah, but all this, of course, is not going to work out. Or say better, it could be that it's not going to work out. V'dilma, because perhaps hilamaisa, she's not going to die. V'havale gita, dahai gita, and that means that her get is kicked in because again, it's triggered by her not dying. And umaisa chaverta, and of course, what could happen is that her friend died, the original died, v'kamalei b'lobayis. And now the original wife died, and this wife now is divorced retroactively, and of course, then there's no wife. And that didn't solve for anything. Again, by the end of Yom Kippur, we want him to be married to one woman. So, elo da'amar la, so the Gemara now gives another suggestion, and that is amanash shetamus achas mikem. So he gives the second wife again, and he says it's going to be effective retroactively in the event that one of them died. So ma'isaha kamahach. So the Gemara says, okay. So if one dies, the other one survived. Then ma'isaha ha'kaima. And if the other wife dies, then this one's still there. So the Gemara says, ha v'dilma lo ma'isa lo v'lo chadaminayu. So the Gemara says, okay. But again, a real possibility would be that, and this is of course the most likely possibility, is that neither of them are going to die. V'avalei shnei batim, and then he's going to be married to two women. V'od. And the Gemara says, and I'll tell you what. Just as a general point, this suggestion that we just gave wouldn't work under normal circumstances, meaning this is just simply not an acceptable condition. That's not going to be a good get. The Gemara discusses this in Masechta Gittin, Erevin as well, Sukkah as well. But this get I'm going to give to you, but only on condition that you don't drink wine for the rest of your life. So that's not going to be considered a valid get. But if you, however, you attach the condition to the lifespan of somebody else, that's going to be a good get. And the idea is that any time that you give a get to a woman with strings attached, meaning that for the rest of her life, she is going to have to abide by some sort of condition that was set into this get, so that's not called krisis, because the very definition of krisis is that there has to be a full severing between husband and wife. And any time that there is a condition that will never be fulfilled for the rest of her life, that by definition is not krisis. if it's a condition that is temporary in nature, she has to abide by for a day, for a week, even for a year. But as long as there is a point of termination of the condition, so then that is considered krisus. If, on the other hand, it's going to endure with her for the rest of her life, that's simply not going to be considered krisus. It's not going to be a get. So over here, when he gives her a get, he says, on the condition that you die, so in general, that's just not going to be a get. Okay, so Ela da Amar Lav. So the Gemara says, fine. So here we are now, lost track in terms of what number suggestion we're up to, but already we are a number of rounds into looking for a solution. So he says that this is going to be a get for you on the condition, and it's only going to be triggered that where your friend doesn't die, meaning the original wife doesn't die. So if the original wife doesn't die, so megasha, so it triggers off the get. The imaisa, but if the original, but if in the event that the original wife dies, so ha kaimaha, so then the second wife is going to be there. The Dilma, Maisa Chaverta, but Pagoda Avoda, the Gemara says, okay, but here's a possibility, and that is that the original wife dies halfway through the Avoda. The Igla Milsalam Afreya, and then what comes out now over here is that the Gita Dahalav Gita Hud, so that means that the get's not going to be a get. The Avile Avoda Bishne Batim, and now that means that at least for some interim time during the course of Yom Kippur, he's going to be having done the Avoda with two wives, meaning that since the get now has not been enacted, and even though his original wife died, but at least until the point of death, so there were in fact two wives. And again, what we want is the Kohen Gadol to do avoda over the entirety of Yom Kippur with only one wife. So Ella, so the Gemara says fine. So as we're now on the top of Yud Gimel Mid Beis, so the Gemara now is going to be giving another suggestion. Now these next rounds of suggestions of the Gemara, I'm sorry, not yet. One more round, and then we're going to shift. So Ela d'Amar Lahi, Harizigitech, Amenashe Tamuz Chaverseich. So here now, the Gemara proposes that maybe what we'll do is that he'll give a get to the second wife. Again, all these cases is where he's given a get to the second wife. So he gives a get to the second wife, and he says that it's going to be triggered in the event that the original wife dies. So Vadilma, the Gemara says, okay, but once again, remember, there are three possibilities. You have to take every possibility into account. Vadilma Maisi Chaverta. So it could very well be that the original wife died, Vahavale Gita, which means that it's going to trigger off the get, the Hagita, the Kamle Bilobais, and then, of course, he's going to be without a wife whatsoever. So now that we've exhausted every possibility in terms of trying to give a get to his second wife and putting in the right condition in order so that when Yom Kippur has concluded, he'll have ended up Yom Kippur with only one wife, and we've exhausted every possibility, and we've basically failed on this regard. So what the Gemara now is going to do is we're going to go a second round, and in the second round of suggestions, we're now going to have to use not one get, but actually two get. So Ella, so the Gemara says, Demgar Shlele Tavayu. So he's going to give a get, a conditional get to both of the women. Lechad Amr Lehu. So to one of them, he says, Harizi Getech Amnach Shlele Tamus. Chavasech. This get is going to be good in the event that you're, that the original wife doesn't die. Ulechad, I said original wife, but the truth of the matter is that once you give two gittin, it doesn't really matter which one's the original, which one's the new one, but anyway. So, Amanash lo tamas chavasech, so this get's gonna be effective in the event that your friend does not die. Ulechad amarla, and to the other one he says, harizikitech, amanash lo tichnas ilabes akinesis. The get will be good, a good get in the event that you don't go into a shul. So Vidilma, the Gemara says, okay, but here, still, as much as now, we are almost in perfect control of the situation so that he will end off Yom Kippur with only one wife, but the Gemara says, but still, v'dilma lo maisi chaverta, so it could very well be that the other wife didn't die, v'lo aile hila beisa kinesis, and she didn't go into shul, v'avale gita to darvaya gita, which means now that the get of both of them have been triggered, v'kamle b'lo bais, and now he's going to be without a wife. So once again over here, it's possible that you both get are going to be triggered, and he's not going to be with a wife. And again, the whole purpose over here is to have a wife. Ella, lechad amrla. So the Gemara says, okay, so we're really going to stay here on this same basic idea. We're just going to tweak it a little bit. And he says to her, this get is going to be good, but if your friend doesn't die, and the get will be good if I go into shul, because over here, if one dies, so then the other one survived. and good. So you have one wife, the imaisa ha'akamehai, and the other one wife dies, so then you had the other wife. So ma'ikalamem, and what are you concerned over here? That maybe one of the women died halfway through the avoda, and now it comes out that the Kohen Gadol did the avoda with two wives. So I chaze le de kabai lamemis. So the Gemara says, okay, but now the Kohen Gadol is going to be in control, because remember, one of the gittim that he gave has it that the get will only be triggered if, in fact, he, the Kohen Gadol, goes into the shul. So kadim iu vayla beis haknesses. So then he'll go into shul mashalagita dahagita lemafreya, and that will be triggering off the get lemafreya retroactively. And now he's then going to be in perfect control, so that in the situation where he sees that he's going to need to trigger the get, so he'll be in control to do so. Now, over here, the Gemara is not worried like it was just moments earlier that he's not going to go into shul, meaning when it comes to the woman, the Gemara took into consideration and was concerned about the fact that the wife is just simply not going to go into shul, and we're not saying the same thing regarding the Kohen Gadol. But Tosfos on the top of the Amud says, yeah, that's true, but in other words, regarding a woman, so a woman's not normally found to be in shul, and so it is very possible that she could just simply not go to the shul. However, for the Kohen Gadol, it's really within his control, and obviously the shul is a place that he frequents, and so therefore he's going to be much more in control of the situation. Adkan, that takes us to the end of the Gemara's lengthy and, quite frankly, complicated situation, or I should say better, solution, in terms of how it could be that the Kohen Gadol will now have a second wife with him, and when Yom Kippur is over, he's going to only be married to one woman. That's the problem, and the Gemara has now officially given the solution. The Gemara over here just has a couple of follow-up questions in terms of what we've just been discussing now for almost a blot of Gemara, which is that the Torah says that when the Kohen Gadol is going to go through the Avodas Yom Kippurim, so he needs a wife, not just a wife, but a wife that's fully married to him through both Kiddushin and Nisuin. And it's based on the fact that the Torah says the word Beisel. So Maskel Ravasi V'Yitem Rav Avira Lemiata Shtei Yavamos Habos Mibayis Echad Lo Yisyabnu. So the Gemara's question now is that, look, in the Parsha of Yavama, so the Torah describes the wife as being the bias, meaning that if a brother were to lose his brother and is survived by a wife who doesn't have any children, so we know that there's a mitzvah of yibum. And we also know that the Torah describes it as bias in the singular, which means then that the mitzvah of yibum presumably is only when there's one surviving wife. Let's say Rachmanus, the brother, dies with two surviving wives. So you want to tell me now, under those circumstances, there's no mitzvah of Yibam? And the Gemara just simply says that we know it's not true. We know it's not correct. So the Gemara says, yeah, you're right, it's not correct, but Yivimto, Yivimto, Riba. But we have a Riba over there, which tells us that the mitzvah of Yibam applies even if the deceased brother leaves not one, but even more than one surviving wife. Maskel Ravina v'yitem Rav Shravi alamiata arusa lo tisyabem ha'chutsa. Sorry, that's the answer already. So the Arusa, there should be no Yibam by the Arusa, meaning we just established on the Amud Aleph of today's daf that the word Beso means that you're married both with Erusin and with Nisuin. And meanwhile, in the Mitzvah of Yibam, where the Torah also uses the word bias, so that would then mean that the Mitzvah of Yibam would only apply if the brother died after having gone through both Erusin and Nisuin. And meanwhile, what it would seem to be, the correct conclusion should seem to be that that if the brother dies only after Erusin, so then there should be no mitzvah of Yibum. And now the Gemara knows that the halach is that there is a mitzvah of Yibum even if it's just after Erusin. So the Gemara is obviously bothered, meaning why are we not consistent in the way we describe Beso when it comes to the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur and the way we describe Beso in terms of the Yibum? So the Gemara's answer is hachutza l'rabos es arusa. So the Gemara says, yeah, but the Torah describes hachutza, meaning that she is not allowed to go out, meaning that as long as she is somewhat in the marriage, so that's enough to trigger off the mitzvah of Yibum. And so, good, so we have a drasha by Yibum that even if they only went through Erusin, that's enough of a marriage in order to qualify for the mitzvah of Yibum. Okay, we're going to stop over here. Tomorrow we're going to pick it up with the Tana Rabbanan, and let's quickly review. The Gemara in the beginning of today's daf talked about what happens when you have a substitute Kohen Gadol. Psul happens to the original Kohen Gadol, and now he's subbed in with a substitute Kohen Gadol. So under those circumstances, when the original Kohen Gadol resumes his position as being Kohen Gadol, so how do we treat the substitute? Machlok is between Rameir and Rav Yossi. Rameir says basically, effectively, he's a Kohen Gadol. Rav Yossi says, no, he's not a Kohen Gadol, he's not a Kohen Hedjo. He's not a Kohen Gadol because of Eva, he's not a Kohen Hedjo because Malam Bekor Shvei Moridin. Although the Gemara acknowledges that even according to Rav Yossi, fundamentally, he really is a Kohen Gadol, but because of Eva, we're going to basically downgrade him, but not downgrade him to the point of being a Kohen Hedjo, but downgrade him to no longer being a Kohen Gadol. The Gemara in Yud Gimel Amud Aleph goes over the back and forth between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim. Rav Yehuda says that we're going to set up another wife for him in the event that his wife dies. The Chachamim say that that's ridiculous, and the Gemara goes a little more over the back and forth in terms of what Rav Yehuda is thinking, what the Chachamim is thinking, and where, and just to simply to flesh out each of the positions just a little bit better. The Gemara then spends the remainder of today's daf with the sheet of Rav Yehuda. For Rav Yehuda, it says that we're going to be establishing another wife on behalf of the Kohen Gadol if in the event that his original wife dies, he needs another wife. He needs a wife because the Torah says beso. So what we're going to do is we're going to set up another wife for him. That's the that's Rav Yehuda. The problem with that, of course, is that setting up another wife for him would give him two wives, and the Torah says, v'chiper ba'ado v'ad beso, beso v'lo batim. In other words, he has to be married only to one wife. And so how is setting up a second wife going to be helpful for him? In fact, if anything, it should hurt him, because the Torah says he has to be married to one wife. And to make a long Gemara and a complicated Gemara much shorter, what the Gemara basically does is it goes through a permutation of various solutions to the problem in terms of how it could possibly be that he can be married to two women going into Yom Kippur, but by the end of Yom Kippur, only be married to one woman, and how exactly do we solve for this problem? The answer of the Gemara is that what he's going to do is he's going to give each one of them a get that is going to be working lima frei retroactively, and if in the event that both of them are going to be surviving Yom Kippur, so then one of the gittim is going to be triggered and one of the gittim is not going to be triggered, and that's how I'll end up with only one wife. Now, I oversimplified, meaning it does get a little bit more complicated with that because there are other possibilities, but basically what the Gemara did is the Gemara did come up with a solution to the problem of how could he be married to two wives prior to Yom Kippur and meanwhile end up with only one wife at the end of Yom Kippur. And again, just as a reminder, that basically covered most of today's daf. And as a very basic reminder, all this was aliba to Rabbi Yehuda because according to the Chachamim, we're not worried about his wife dying. So none of this really becomes a concern or consideration. All this is Lashitas Rabbi Yehuda. And the last things that we covered today is that Beso by the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur clearly means that he's married to her with both Kiddushin and Nisuin. It also means that he only has one wife. And meanwhile, by Yibum, we don't cap ourselves with one wife for the mitzvah of Yibum. And also by Yibum, we know that it applies to Erusin as well as Nisuin. So it seems to be somewhat disconnected, the Beso by Yom Kippur versus the Beso of Yibum. And the Gemara notes that there are drushas, and that's the drushas are the reasons why we make distinctions between the two.